Well, I am glad Doug and Rhonda and Roger and Megan are back. Woo! Missed them last week. I'm so happy they're back. Woo! All right. Woo! 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 That's fun. Why not? That's fun. I like it. So last week, our iCare outreach team went out and did some really exciting stuff. And so I just want Melanie, our iCare outreach director, to come and share with you what we did, because I knew you would want to hear the story. And so we had a good time, didn't we? We had fun. Who went? Raise your hand. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go, Mel.
Thanks. All right. So last week, we had a group of about 20 or so people, and we split into four groups of four or five people each, and we had $300 from some fundraising we did and from the church, and we all met and had lunch together and got to talk and had a little fun. And then we split the money between the groups and said, just pray over it, and then whatever you feel like, take it out and just give it away to whoever you want. So, and this kind of like throws you out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know, to go out and say like, okay, Jesus loves you, here's $20. And people are like, what? So we had some stories of, we had funny stories. We had very touching stories. People we talked to shared their story with us. And we got to meet some really awesome people and have some interesting conversations for sure. I think we went to about eight cities, and I think it was 16 people or 17 that we actually talked to and gave the money to. So it was really cool. And when we got back, we were all able to share our stories and have some time together. And I got so many people saying they want to do it again. So we'll be doing it again. And I would love to invite you all to come. Yeah.
All right. Way to go, Mal. Some of you are sitting there going, man, I missed it. Oh, I know, Colleen, I missed it. I would have loved that, right? No worries, you get your chance. But I tell you, as a pastor, it was so fun because I felt like the Lord told me, don't you be the one to go out and touch people. Let the people you're with go out and touch people. And I mean, I wanted to. I want to see their faces. I want to talk to them. But I had so much fun watching the different groups respond in their own unique ways. It was really so awesome to see our uniqueness play itself out and how quickly, like when our group came together, we sat down and we prayed in here before we left and we just said, God, we know you're a speaking God. We know you love those people out there that you want us to touch. So just show us what to do, where to go and what to do. And within seconds, one person in my group said, I think we're supposed to do this. I see this. And another group said, I see this. And bam, I mean, it was like, woo, 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 like that. We were out of here before some of the groups were done praying. We were done, you know. We were like, okay, we've heard from the Lord. Let's go. And it was really, it was a great experience. So keep your eyes open. We're going to do it again. We definitely are going to do it again. And who knows, we might throw some twist in there. But it's kind of funny, too. I'll tell this part, Mel. Because we had set up a different activity to do. We were going to go down and pass out sandwiches to homeless people. And I would love to do that someday too. But every door we kept knocking on kept getting slammed in our face. I mean, literally a couple times. We called a couple places and we're like, yeah, we don't want that. Thanks. Bye. You know? Okay, you know, we're trying to do a good thing, and you have to fill out 17 forms in triplicate before you can do that, you know. You have to sign up to be a regular volunteer before you can do that. We're like, really? We just want to give some sandwiches away from Arby's. I mean, how hard is that going to be, right? Every door was slamming. And finally, was it on Wednesday or Thursday before the event, I said, Mel, something's going on here. I said, it should not be this hard to do something nice for God. So God must be showing us this is not the way he wants us to go. And she and I had talked a few months back about the possibility of how fun it would be to do what we did. And it dropped back in my mind again. And I was like, oh, I think this is what we're supposed to do. So I called her. She was on board. We just had a blast. So it was fun stuff. Fun stuff. I love watching God move. It's a good time. Also, I have a cool announcement to share with you. On November 22nd, if you notice in your bulletin, it says Victory at the River. That's because there's a church here in Solon that's a very small church plant. They're about 30 to 40 people, I think is what the pastor told me. Pastor Larissa Moore is her name, and she has been actually officing out of Oak River for about a year maybe, or not quite. Sometime less than a year. So I met her and we've talked a couple times and I really like her. And I was here a couple weeks ago practicing for worship before the team got here. And she and a couple of her team members were here and they came in and heard me sing. And she was like, wow, I can feel God's presence in this place. And I go, I know, isn't it awesome? And I'm not kidding you. Like before I even knew what I was saying, that's how when you know it's the Lord, because it comes from here instead of from here sometimes. And before I even knew what I was saying, I heard myself saying to her, we should do a combined service. And she's like, oh, that would be awesome. I said, we'll tag team speak. I'll speak half and you can speak half. And then we'll have a big Chris's idea, have a big potluck after service together and kind of get to know each other. She is so charged about it. She is so excited about it. They meet at the community center in Solon, but she's kind of beaten down a little bit. She needs some encouragement. And she's an awesome lady. She's a woman of God. So we're going to do that on November 22nd. Be ready to be good hosts and hostesses. Okay, we want to love on them and we want to pour into them. And I'm going to ask you to bring a little extra offering that day because we want to bless them financially, because we know what it's like to be a church plant. It's stressful and it's hard, and finances are one of the ways it's stressful. And so we just want to bless them. We're going to do a combined service, Victory at the River, because they're called Victory Community Church and we're called Oak River. You get it? Victory at the River. I know, cheesy, but that's all right. We're going to have fun anyway. So be ready for that on November 22nd. So today we're going to wrap up our series on souls and more souls with a message I'm calling This Is My Story. And as I was worshiping this morning, God reminded me of something that happened when my oldest son, who is now 23, was a year old. We lived in Tulsa at the time. And we went to the zoo. How fun is it to go to the zoo? I actually miss taking toddlers to the zoo because I love their awe and their excitement. I miss that. I'll take your kids to the zoo sometime. Absolutely. We should do it. Okay, Christian, are you in? We'll go to the zoo. Faye, are you in? I don't know. I love going to the zoo. So we went to the zoo. And we were walking around, and Tulsa Zoo actually has a pretty impressive, at that time at least, they had a pretty impressive lion display, a lion enclosure. And you could get really close to the lions. There was a big ravine between you, which always made me wonder if they could jump over. You know, it was just close enough that you wonder. And so we were there, and we were happened to be at the lion enclosure, and we were both like, wow, they're huge. There are three lions in there, a male and two females. And we were just watching them move so gracefully, and you could see their strength, you know. And all of a sudden, the male lion, he had this muscle movement from his back, almost like his rear end, all the way up. Out of his mouth, you could see the muscles contract from his back to his front. And I'm like, is he sick? Is he gonna puke? Well, like, what's going on? I'd never seen that before. And all of a sudden, this really low roar came out, very quiet though. It was like, roar. And then he did it again. You could see it coming before you could hear it. You could see it, literally see it coming before you could hear it. and it got louder the second time. And then it kept getting louder and louder. And then when he started going, one of the females started going. They were roaring back and forth. People were running from all over the zoo to come and see what was happening in the lion enclosure. Then the second female joined in, and they were all just roaring at each other. And it wasn't like angry. It wasn't like that. It was more like they were just talking to each other loudly. They must have been Italians. Right? And they were just, roar. But I was fascinated by the fact that you could see the roar before you could hear it. Right? So the Lord reminded me of that during worship this morning. And I felt like he said, there are those of you that I can see the roar. I can't hear it yet, but I can see the roar. Amen. I can see it coming out of your mouth. It's not there yet, but I can see it. And then when you start roaring, others in the congregation are going to start roaring too. And people are going to come from all over because they hear your roar. They hear your roar. And I'm like, wow, God, that's so cool. You reminded me of that. And then I remembered the name of my message. This is my story. Your story is your roar. Your story is your roar. And we're going to talk about David and Paul and their stories, and then we're going to talk about my story and yours. So number one, David told his story. One of our favorite characters of the whole Bible, one of my favorite characters of the whole Bible. Love, love, love Psalms. I read Psalms every single day. Love Psalms. Can't get enough of Psalms. And one of the things I've noticed recently about Psalms is how many times David refers to the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea. Well, most of you know the story. You've seen the movie at least. And you've seen, you know that the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Here's one of the samples of him telling it, yesterday's story. Psalm 66, 5 through 9, the New Living Translation. Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs for people. He made a dry path through the Red Sea, and his people went across on foot. There we rejoiced in him. For by his great power, he rules forever. He watches every movement of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. Then it says interlude. You know what that means? Pause to think about that. I like that. Pause and think about that. Another version says pause in his presence. Just take a pause and breathe in his presence. And then he goes on. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Our lives are in his hands and he keeps our feet from stumbling. And you know what I find interesting about that? Is that the event had happened, most theologians say, somewhere between 300 and 400 years earlier than David wrote it. So 350, let's split the difference. 350 years after the event happened, of course, David wasn't around when it happened. He is still talking about the miracle of the Red Sea. 9 times in the book of Psalms. 9 different times it's brought up. I don't think we understand the value of remembering what God has done in the past. But that's what David is saying here. Remember what our God has done in the past. Call to mind what God has done in the past. It's funny, when I was preparing this, I was thinking about all of that. And then I'm reading this book called The Power That Changes the World. And I came across this quote. Says, on July 17th, 1859, Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time, brought a message entitled, The Story of God's Mighty Acts. In his sermon, he declared how the miracles of divine intervention in the past have the power to shape the present. Do you think it's any coincidence I'm reading this right after I've prepared a message on the importance of us recalling miracles of the past? That's not coincidence. Listen to his cry. Now, this is a quote from Charles Spurgeon's sermon from 1859. When people hear about what God used to do, one of the things they say is, oh, that was a very long time ago. He said, I thought it was God who did it. Has God changed? Is he not an immutable God, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does that not furnish an argument to prove that what God has done at one time, he can do at another? Nay, I think I'll even push it further and say what he has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again. Whatever God has done, let it be looked upon as a precedent. Ah, I love that so much. Let us with earnestness seek that God would restore us. Restore to us the faith of the men of old, that we may richly enjoy his grace as in the days of old. Oh, when I was a kid, I used to hear my parents say, oh, I remember the good old days of revival. And I'd be like, well, yeah, that's nice for then, but I don't want to hear about it now, because this is now, because I was stupid. Sorry, that's not a nice word, but I was not smart. I think it's the reverse. I think if we hear the stories of old, we can go, hey, if God did that for them then, think what he can do for us now. We don't have to go back to the old days. We can bring the old days into the new days. You see, if he did it then, it's a precedent for what he wants to do again. Oh, that's what David understood. That's why he was an incredible worshiper. Because he never let go of God's mighty acts of yesterday. Never let go of them. But then he didn't stop there. Point B, today's story. Psalm 16, 5 through 11. This is from the Passion Translation. He says, Lord, I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. Not you used to be. You are. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you, for you have given me the best. The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more. For your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure, for you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you. Don't you love how he recalled what God is doing today in his life? You see, when you spend your time meditating on the great things God has done in the past, even in your lifetime or your parents' lifetime or your grandparents, I mean, it can go back as far as you want. Your grandparents, your great-grandparents, how much of your story do you know? Take it back as far as you know. Research, if you're into that, you know, ancestry.com or whatever that is. Look it up and look at what God has done in your lineage and bring that forward. We're really quick to talk about generational curses. Let's start talking about generational blessings. Let's bring it forward. Let's bring it forward and count on it. Because you see, that will give us a confidence in the future and in today. A peace for today and in the future. Not only did David tell his story, but Paul told his story. Number two, Paul told his story. The story of his salvation, first of all, in Acts 22, 6 through 16, as I was on the road approaching Damascus about noon, A very bright light from heaven suddenly shone down around me. I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, the one you are persecuting. The people with me saw the light but didn't understand the voice who was speaking to me. I asked, what should I do, Lord? And the Lord told me, get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told everything you are to do. And isn't that just like God? You ever ask him what you're supposed to do? And he says, get up and do what I've told you to do, and then I'll tell you more. That cracks me up. I'm like, come on, just give me the whole plan now. Because I'm kind of a point A to point B to point C to point D kind of person. I'm not a point A to point B person. You know what I mean? I just want the whole plan. And he chuckles and says, just do the next thing. It's all right. Verse 11, I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law and well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And that very moment I could see him. Then he told me, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear him speak. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord. And then I put some other passages because he told his salvation story over and over and over again throughout the New Testament. Dave, don't ever apologize for telling your salvation story over and over again. I love hearing it every time. We get the honor of telling our salvation story. It's a beautiful thing. It's the roar of the lion coming out in you. It's the roar of the lion when you get to tell that salvation story. But Paul didn't stop there. He also told of his God encounter. 2 Corinthians 12:2, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Now, if somebody came along and said that now, we'd probably go, whack job. It's in the Bible. Well, that's for yesterday. It's not for today. No, it's a precedent. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. I love that he told his God encounter story. I don't have the kind of salvation story that Dave has. I remember when I was a kid, like I was in a youth group, I would hear these great salvation stories and I would be just a little bit jealous because I didn't have that kind of story to tell. But you know what? My story will be appealing to someone that your story won't be appealing to. And your story will be appealing to someone that my story won't be appealing to. Our job is not to worry about what kind of story we have. Our job is to tell our story. And don't just stop with your salvation story. Tell of your God encounter stories. And I was thinking all week, I'm like, okay, God, I want to tell one of my God encounter stories, but I don't know. I don't know which one to tell. There's so many to tell, and I don't know which one to tell. And so yesterday I was talking to my landlord, and I heard myself telling him one of my God encounter stories. And it was like God said, that's the one. I'm like, oh, okay, that made it easy. So I'll tell you my story. Point three, what is my story? This is only part of my story. All of us have multiple stories we could tell. Multiple stories of our salvation or of God encounters. Here's one of my stories. 7 years ago, I was living in a home that I thought I was going to hold my future grandchildren in. It was our dream home. Custom built, beautiful. I picked out the flooring. I picked out the light fixtures. I picked out I picked out it all, you know? And I thought I was going to live there forever. But I found myself sitting in a big empty house alone, knowing that I was going to lose the home. And I had been told 6 months earlier, you're going to lose the home, but there's no date on it yet, so stay as long as you can. And so for that next 6 months, I pounded the pavement looking for another place for me and my boys to live. I mean, Janet knows because she helped me. We worked very hard. She said, Sandy, what's your budget? I said, I don't really have a budget, because at that point, it was just the way it was. I said, we just need to find the lowest price place we can find to rent, and God will figure it out. Really, that's what I told her. We found a couple of different places. One of them was a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, and it was $1,050. I went and looked at it, and I thought, well, I could live here. It's not as clean as I wish it was. It's not exactly laid out the way I wish it was, but, you know, things have never been that important to me, and I can, it's fine. So I put in an application. I said, God, if this is not your will, let them turn me away. And they turned me away. I'm like, okay. I was a little disappointed. I'm like, oh, great. So I pounded the pavement some more. When I say pounded the pavement, I mean I drove for miles, because a lot of rentals you can only find by driving through streets where they put a sign in the yard. Miles. I can't imagine how much gas I went through looking for a house. I checked all the local papers. I checked online. Janet was scouring all the media, electronic media. We were trying our best to find a house. Finally found another house. I think it was $1,000 a month, which seemed like so much money to me then and now. And I'm like, okay, well, let me go look at it. I looked at a lot of places in between that were horrible. One was behind a truck stop. Like, it was bad. Remember that one? It was really bad. But thankfully, it was so funny because I had a cat, and the owner goes, oh, you can't bring a cat. I go, okay, sorry, we can't do it. Felt like it was my out, you know. Found another one for $1,000, and it was this another situation where I was like, well, we can make it work. It's not great, but Lord, I just wish I could get a clean house. That's all I ask. I don't need fancy, but I really would like clean, you know, just clean. Just give me clean. 3 bedrooms, fine, whatever. Got rejected again. So then fast forward, the notice came in the mail that I had to evacuate the house within 3 weeks, and I didn't have a place to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I remember one Saturday morning, I turned on worship music as loud as I could through that big old house, big old empty house. And I was packing boxes and worshiping and alternately crying over loss, you know. And I was alone. And I could have had any number of people who would be willing to come and help me. But there are some things you just got to do with God. You just got to do it with God, you know? So I was packing up boxes. This is not a lie. Anybody who knew me then knows this is true. My doorbell rings. Ding dong. And I have tears coming down my face. And I'm like, okay, you know, go to the door. This lady's standing there. She goes, hi. She said, I noticed that you had this house for sale a while back, but the sign's not in the yard anymore. And is it still for sale? And I go, you know what, I'm sorry, it's really not. We tried to sell it, but we were unsuccessful, so now we're losing it. So I'm in the process of packing up now, and so I'm sure you can go and check the sites that are available for houses that are lost. But no, I can't help you. Oh, I'm so sorry. She was sweet. She was an angel from the Lord that day. I know in my heart she was an angel from the Lord. She probably doesn't know that, but she was. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. What are you going to do? I go, I'm not sure. I'm looking for a rental. You don't happen to know of a rental, do you? And she goes, huh. Actually, my son just bought a house that he's flipping and he wants to rent out. Are you interested? I said, yes. Yes. She goes, well, they're in the middle of putting new flooring down and redoing the kitchen. And in my mind, I'm like, clean, it's going to be clean. I go, well, here's my phone number. Can you please have him call me? So it's not long later, a couple days maybe, he called. He goes, I understand you're looking for a house to rent. I said, yes. And he said, well, I'll tell you about the house. And here's the address if you want to go drive by it and walk around it. And I said, okay, great. So he told me about a 3-bedroom, 2 full baths. I didn't expect 2 full baths. That was a little gift. Screened-in porch on the front and on the back. I love screened-in porches. It's one of my things. love, love, love screened in porches. Just, it's just one of my things. And two screened in porches. That's like God. And so in my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be more than I can afford probably. But I said, okay, I'll go look at it and I'll call you back. So I went and looked at it. And honestly, from the outside, it didn't look like much. It looked like kind of a dive. But I knew in here it was the right one. I just knew it was the right one. And I'm looking in the windows. I was that stalker looking in the windows because nobody was living there. And I'm seeing the flooring they've picked out. And I'm like, oh, this might work, right? So I call him back. I go, Joe, I'm interested. Just need to know the details. You know, what are you looking to get for it? And what kind of deposit do you need? Blah, blah, blah. He goes, well, we were thinking of renting it for $675. How does that sound? That sounds perfect. I don't even have to see it inside. That's the one. That's a lot different from 1,000 or 1,050, right? 675. So then we signed all the paper. No, we didn't even sign the paperwork yet. He just like, okay, we're definitely, here's the only thing. It's not going to be ready for 5 or 6 weeks. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I can't live on the street. I have kids, you know. Within a day, Louise Nowicki, there you are. Louise Nowicki called me, said, Sandy, I heard you might need a little place to stay between houses. I go, yeah, we sort of do. She said, Fred and I would love it if you would come, and you and the boys would come and stay with us. I really? You see, that's the partnership of God working together with his people. God brought that woman to my door. There is no doubt in my mind. And then God brought Louise to help take care of us between houses. This is what God does, you see. And to top it all off, about a week later, I get another call from the landlord. He goes, hey, Sandy, we've been thinking, because he was in a co-ownership situation. We've been thinking, you know, are you bringing your appliances with you when you come? I go, I don't know. It's a foreclosure, so I'm not sure. He said, oh, yeah, you're allowed. You can take your appliances. I go, really? He goes, yeah, definitely. He said, if you don't, somebody else will come in and take them out, probably steal them, so take them. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm bringing my appliances. He said, well, if you do, we'll knock $50 a month off your rent for bringing your own appliances. What? What? Only God. Only God could have done all of that. Only God. And you see, every time I tell this story, it builds my faith. Because I'm looking for another house right now. I'm looking to buy instead of rent now. And so I tell myself that story and I say, Sandy, you can do all the work you want. You can go on Craigslist, and I do. You can go on Realtor. You can go on Zillow. You can go on Trulia. You can go on all those sites and look for a house. You can use a Realtor. You can do that. But when it's God's time, he's going to show you. He's going to make it clear. He's going to bring the house you need when you need it. And when I told the landlord yesterday, his jaw was like, he couldn't believe it. That's part of my story. Here's what I want you to remember. You have a voice. You don't have to be a pastor to have a voice. You have a voice. So all the kids are like, what's she getting? What's she getting? Here's what I want to give all the kids after the service, a microphone. Yeah. It doesn't work, Mom. Woo. And every time you look at this microphone, I want you to remember that you have a voice. You have a voice. You can and you can use your voice. God lets you decide how you want to use your voice. You can either use it to talk about him and all the good things he's done, or you can use it to talk about not so good stuff. It's your choice. But the thing is, you have a voice. You have a story. Every one of you have a story. This week when I was preparing the message, I don't know why, I was laughing at myself. Because remember in high school, maybe none of you else, I don't know. Maybe this, you said this and maybe you didn't. My girlfriends and I would talk about the guys, you know, that we would notice, right? And we would talk about them privately. And the worst thing you could say about a guy was this. He thinks he's God's gift to the world. Did you ever say that? Yep. He thinks he's God's gift to the world. And this week when I was preparing this message, I felt like God said, you are God's gift to the world. Because that was always negative in my mind. And now it was like it turned around and God said, no, that's a good thing. I put you on this earth because you are God's gift to the world. And the more times you tell your stories, your God stories, you become a gift to the world. So you have a voice and you are God's gift to the world. You are. You are. So here's what I'd like to know. I told one of my stories. I'd like for some of you to tell your story. But here's the thing, okay? Let me give you some guidelines here. Because it needs to be God-centered. It needs to be giving the glory to God. It's not a God story if you're getting all the glory. It's yours, you know what I mean? God, it needs to be God-centered. It's funny, the bringing glory to him means making God visible on the earth. He's already on the earth. We get to help make him visible. And then you can either do elevator ride length or book length or article length, magazine article length. Today, we're looking for elevator ride length, okay? In other words, a story you could tell if you were on the first floor and going up to the 30th floor on the elevator, you could tell someone in that amount of time that it would take to get from floor 1 to floor 30. You've probably heard of that witnessing technique. So, does anybody have a God story they would like to share? I know Ken does because he already asked for permission to share it. So, Ken, can you tell that story first to get people thinking?
Well, actually, I got a couple of them. I'll try to make it quick.
Elevator,
yes. Everybody knows my mom recently passed away. My stepfather was in a nursing home as well. I didn't have much time to visit him. I was attending to my mom, doing laundry, things like that, just visiting her. She needed me. When my mom passed away, I was finally able to go see my stepfather. His name is Eddie. I went there. He was sleeping. I put my hand on his shoulder. I got down. I go, hey, Eddie. He opened his eyes. He was like, hey. It was great. Okay, we talked, we shared some things about mom, that she's in heaven, she's with the Lord, and I'm happy for her. So we had a great conversation there. And I knew that his hip was dislocated. Okay, he's been in a lot of pain. He can't get up, he wasn't able to come to the funeral. So I said, Eddie, I says, does your hip hurt you? He says, yes. My hip hurts, my knees hurt, my ankles hurt, my feet hurt. I says, Eddie, I want to pray for you. He says, okay. And I think he thought that I was going to go home, light a candle, and pray for him. I said, no, I don't pray for you right now, Eddie. He says, okay. I says, okay. I put my hand on his knee. I says, in Jesus' name, pain, get out of that knee. He says, the pain's gone. The pain is left. He got a big smile on his face. Wow. I says, okay, Eddie, let's go to your hips now. Same thing. The pain left his hips. Hallelujah. The pain left his ankles, his feet. He is ecstatic. He got wrecked. He was awesome. He says, pray for my hearing. Pray for my hearing. Pray for my hearing. I said, okay, Eddie. I said, I put my hand on his ear. I commanded his ears to open up in Jesus' name. Mm. He says, everything's quiet. I said, well, okay, I'll pray again, Eddie. Did it again. He goes, it's even more quiet. Hear the noise in his head. It quieted down. He could hear me perfectly.
Wow.
Ooh, it was huge. Wow. It was huge. So that is giving glory to God.
Amen.
So thank you, Father.
Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome. Amen. Mm. Amen. Is that good? I'll take it. Okay, who else has a God story? And I would love it if a kid has a God story or a youth has a God story. Any age, just a time where God showed up in your life and did something. Or adult. Okay, Ron.
The year I graduated from high school and was getting ready to go to college, well, I had a scholarship for the first year, so I had my tuition paid. But, you know, there's clothes, there's gas, and I was commuting. I could not find a job anywhere. I went to all the businesses. I went to the farmers. I couldn't find a job on a farm. You know, it was that bad. I got a little stint in a cemetery digging graves by hand.
Wow.
Doesn't pay much. And I, 2 weeks, 2 weeks as a counselor at a Christian camp. So, you know, I'll take it. I was a church kid, so they thought I could counsel. They didn't know me. I went to the camp. It was junior high boys. They'd have a meeting at night, and the pastor would, you know, give the invitation. The kids would come down, and he'd say, "Counselors, come and lead these children to the Lord."
Wow.
Well, I knew all the words, and I went and did it. And, you know, God blessed it and all that. But I got up from that altar and left, and I said, "God, if I'm going to do this, I got to know you."
Mm-hmm.
I went and found myself an empty cabin and fell on my knees, and God showed up.
Amen.
And changed my life.
Mm.
And convinced me that it was not just a head thing and it wasn't just saying a few magic words. He came into my heart and changed my life from that time forward.
Mm.
You know, God encountered because I was desperate.
Yeah.
I needed him.
That's your God story and you're sticking to it.
I'm sticking to it.
That's good. If anybody else has one, we'll do it together. Oh, Kathy has one. That's all right.
The whole time you were talking, this is just a little thing, but the whole time you were talking, I couldn't stop thinking about it, but 20 years ago, it was before I knew you, I was a choir director at our church, and I was also very involved. We lived in Orange Village. Our church was in Orange Village. I was very involved with the village. And so the opportunity came up for my choir to do a patriotic presentation, I don't want to call it a show, but, you know, for the whole village. And it was a village, big community affair that we were having, and the mayor had asked me if I would, you know, this was like a dream come true because I'd been dreaming about this for years. But it was all outdoors, and for some reason, it was over, I think, Labor Day weekend. I was like, the night before, I was panicked that it was going to rain. And, I mean, literally, like, almost panic attack, panicked. And I'm praying and praying and praying. I was home alone that night. I'm praying and praying, "God, please don't let it, please don't let it rain." This, you know, this is like, it was like a dream come true, and I was so afraid it was going to rain. So I'm sitting in the family room. I'm praying. I think I should read the Bible. I don't know what to read. So I just, you know, did one of those, open it and point. And I'm going to show my ignorance here, and I'm going to embarrass myself. But was it Elijah or Joshua who stopped the rain?
Elijah.
Where it didn't rain for, well, I opened it to the verse that said, "And it didn't rain for how many years?"
I don't know how long. Yeah, sorry. Do you know, Dave? I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, of all the whole Bible, I opened it and did this, and it landed on the verse where it didn't rain for. I mean, I said it was a little thing,
but
I had instant peace, and we had a beautiful day, and it was perfect.
That's cool. I love it. Maybe you heard these stories today and you're thinking, I don't have a salvation story. You have one too, Colleen?
Yeah.
Go ahead. No. Come on. I love it. Go for it.
Mine was June of 1998. But before that, I was 18 and I left home and I moved to North Carolina. I married a soldier there. Went through whatever, bad times, had three kids, and this is probably when I was like 25, I started feeling this emptiness in me. And I grew up Catholic, and I still love the Catholic Church, but I grew up Catholic, and I just kept asking God, I'm like, who are you? I was asking all these questions. And then I encountered this soldier and his wife, and they kept begging me to go to church. And during that time, it was starting to get really bad with me and my ex-husband. And so they were begging me and begging me for like 6 months. Finally, they were leaving, and they said, they were getting deployed somewhere else. And they said, as a gift to go away, would you just please come with us to church? Wow. And I was like, oh. So I went, and it was a spirit-filled church. Like, wow. It was people, I walked in, everyone's raising their hands, and people are at the altar, and it was huge. And I was like, what? So so I remember sitting down, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing the pastor, and I feel this stirring in my, right here, like you say, right here. I was like, what is going on? And I just felt something. Well, then he made an altar call, and I went up and gave my life to, I didn't even know what really I was doing, but I was like, I want whatever these people have.
Wow.
Gave my life to the Lord, and went home that day. I remember I was dancing in the bedroom, and someone had given me a Bible, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. I'm like, everything just came alive.
Wow.
And from then on, my life has never changed. Like, I just have been since 1998, and I will never go back because he has changed my life. Like,
amen.
In an amazing, amazing way.
Amen.
So that's my story.
Colleen, you were meant to share that. You definitely were meant to share that. Somebody needed to hear that. If you're sitting here and you've never really had that kind of experience that she's talking about, or the kind that Dave shares, or Ron, and you want to, you're like, I know something's missing. I recognize that something is missing in my life. It's really simple to have a God encounter. You don't have to understand it all. Like Colleen said, you don't have to get it all. You don't have to understand all the ins and outs of it. It's a place that you get to where you go, God, my way is not working. And so I'm asking for your way. In your heart, you just say, I need you. I see that I need you. And I'm asking you to take care of all the sins that I've committed or all the sins I ever will commit. Thank you for making payment for those. And I accept your payment on my behalf. And God, I come to you in the name of your son, Jesus. And I open my heart to whatever you have for me. It's really that simple. So if that's you right now, just close your eyes and in your own words, say, God, I give you my heart. My way isn't working. So I surrender my heart. I open my heart to you. I thank you for making a path that I can come to you and I can bring all of my burdens and all of my sins and lay them at your feet, and I don't have to walk away with them. And thank you for making me new. It's that simple. It's really that simple.